You're listening to OWW Radio,
the official radio show of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
Alright. Alright, so here we are. Living it day by day, you are a superstar. At least that's what she used to always say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of OWW Radio. This is the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Each week, OWW Radio will bring perspective to WWE, TNA, and everything else making news in the world of professional wrestling. My name is David, and today I welcome two special guests to the show. First, Tyler Steele, the driving force of Primal Conflict Wrestling and the spiritual leader of The Forgiven, will be here to discuss his success in PCW and their upcoming show, Next Level, set for September 12th in Ranson, West Virginia. And then Kerry Morris will be here to chat about this weekend's WWE action in New York City. Kerry is my resident WWE expert, who I'd like to bring on the show to recap all the recent WWE action. And with NXT TakeOver and SummerSlam on the calendar, a lot is going on. It should be a very good show. First up, Tyler Steele. Welcome to OWW Radio.
Thank you for having me, Dave.
How have you been? How's your 2015 going?
Very busy. Not wrestling as I used to, but Primal Conflict Wrestling business has kept me very active.
Yeah, you are the driving force of Primal Conflict Wrestling. Tell me more about PCW.
Well, Primal Conflict Wrestling, we started in 2007. Basically, we kind of stay to the eastern half of West Virginia, but, you know, we're looking at Northern Virginia and some other areas to run in. We run a family-friendly professional wrestling product. We don't do the extreme. We don't do the sports entertainment. It's kind of wrestling that we grew up on. And I say we, you know, guys that are maybe 30 and over. We've had a who's who come through, from Paul Bearer to Luke Gallows to David Hart Smith to Shannon Moore, Demolition Axe, Bobby Eaton, Kevin Thorne. You know, the list goes on and on of the big name stars that have come through Primal Conflict Wrestling. But we've really developed a pretty good core roster as well that, you know, I'm proud of, and I know that everybody on this team is very enthusiastic about.
How did you specifically get started or associated with PCW?
The nuts and bolts of it is I'm a founding father of PCW. PCW wasn't started to be, you know, anything more than just to bring a quality professional wrestling product to this area, my home area. For the most part, when I was wrestling every weekend, I didn't wrestle locally, as in the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia. And when things started winding down for me, another promotion, for lack of a better term, had booked a community center and ran an event there that drew a grand total of 6 paid fans. And the guy that ran the community center kind of commented, he's like, this is what you've been doing on the weekends, because I was involved in some youth leagues and things like that. And I said, no, not exactly. I said, but if you want to have wrestling here at the community center, I said, you know, I can put something together. And that's what I did. And then it kind of grew from there, so to speak.
You yourself used to wrestle. Tell me about your wrestling career. How long were you an active pro wrestler?
As an independent pro wrestler, and I know it's a touchy subject, I say 10 years of independent wrestling is like 1 year of wrestling for the WWE or TNA, because you just don't get as many matches. But I wrestled from 1995, and I had my last match November of 2014. But, you know, like they say, never say never. As far as I don't use the R word, because it's bastardized so much by professional wrestling, but I'm currently permanently inactive, we'll call it that. Throughout the course of my quote-unquote career, I was very fortunate. I got to wrestle from Connecticut to Tennessee to, you know, I made it all the way to England and Wales. I was fortunate enough to, you know, see a lot of the country and overseas. So I mean, I had a good run. I had a lot of fun. I got to see the world in somebody else's tab. So, I mean, I got no complaints. I never made it to WWE or TNA, but I did have a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, like you say, you got to see the world on someone else's dime, as they say, right?
Exactly.
I'm joined today on OWW Radio by Tyler Steele of Primal Conflict Wrestling. Tyler, for someone who's just now getting into the business, who has dreams of being a professional wrestler, what are some of the pitfalls or challenges that you would want them to look out for?
Well, the business is constantly evolving. You know, I had a conversation with a colleague not too long ago, like when Bret Hart and Ric Flair, when they were hitting their stride, they were, you know, they were 35 to 40, and now 35 to 40 is done. I mean, you know, it's just the business accelerated, the in-ring product accelerated, so you're not going to see guys that are wrestling into the 50s and 60s anymore and definitely not hitting their primes at that point. So, you know, Patrick Clark, who, you know, started, he had his first match in PCW and did his training with Maryland Championship Wrestling, and he just kind of popped up on Tough Enough and got very hot very quick. He's only 19 years old. And, you know, that's, wow. I think that's kind of where business is gravitating, where, you know, these guys are, they're going to, their bodies and their talent is going to peak, you know, in their early 20s. And hopefully, you know, they can get the coaching and the mindset so that their mentality and their psychology catches up to it. As far as any advice, I mean, I did it backwards. I would suggest and highly encourage anybody looking into getting wrestling to have a backup plan, get a college degree. I didn't get my college degree until I was 38. I did it, you know, like they say, you know, bass backwards. So, I mean, it definitely can have something to fall back onto. And there's so many different aspects of this business that you can go to college for, and if wrestling doesn't work out, you can, you know, work in those areas. Video production, you know, computer design, graphic design, all those things are, you know, important parts of the wrestling business, and it would aid you in life and in wrestling. You know, so I just suggest have a plan B and a plan C for that matter.
Well, that's a great point. I've heard wrestlers and promoters talk about the importance of a plan B. For myself, Tyler, a little bit of background. I've been a professional wrestling fan since 1985. I'm a bit older than you, but I didn't know how I would ever contribute to this business. And I knew I wanted to do something, kind of to your point about if you're not going to be a wrestler, there's still other parts of this business that you can contribute to. For myself, I've been able to get into online world of wrestling, which has been great, and also to do ring announcing, which has been, it's just been transformative to me to be involved in the show and to help entertain. I absolutely love it. But I want to talk about your event on September 12, 2015, PCW Next Level in Ranson, West Virginia. What can people expect at PCW Next Level?
At Next Level, and it's kind of a double meaning, you know, in that, you know, if wrestlers are going to the next level, but Primal Conflict Wrestling is also going to the next level, and the Ranson Civic Center is a huge venue. It's got seating. We could, you know, theoretically seat 1,500 in it, you know, arena-style seating, the whole nine yards. And we're going, you know, we're loading it up. I mean, Sanjay Dutt versus Bobby Shields, who's our PCW champion, that match is going to be off the charts. I have no doubt in it. But we have WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan coming in. Christian York and Doug Delicious have a big street fight grudge match. Patrick Clark is coming back to PCW for the first time since January. He'll be taking on his trainer, six-time MCW heavyweight champion, the Bruiser. Hillbilly Jim is making a rare appearance. He's going to be in Country Strong's corner as they take on Punk Rock All-Stars, who have kind of another founding father of PCW, Switchblade in their corner. Jason the Gift Kincaid, who is all over the place, won the ECWA Super 8 tournament this year. You know, he's big in the Smoky Mountain area of Tennessee. I mean, he's just one of those guys that's on the cusp. He's working for Jeff Jarrett's Global Force Wrestling. He's one half of our tag champions in my group at Forgiven, along with the Reaper, Matt Connor. I know the PCW tag team champions. They'll be defending against Black Wall Street, who held the PCW tag team title for 665 days.
Wow.
So it's kind of, who's the best tag team at PCW, kind of a storyline. We've got Gory, who is a, you know, he's kind of one of those guys that has a lot of buzz. He's in Mexico. He's big around the Steel City area, Pittsburgh, Ohio, Chicago. He's wrestling Phoenix Fury. Dirty Money, who is, in my opinion, probably the best unsigned wrestler anywhere today. I think he should be in Ring of Honor, you know, WWE or wherever. He's going to be taking on Solo, who's a, you know, just a huge physical freak, and I mean that in the nicest possible way. We just had 8 of the biggest matches that have ever had in the PCW. We're having them all on one event. It's a benefit fundraiser for the independent fire company, our local fire department, Ladies Auxiliary. We've been doing a huge amount of personal appearances. I was just at the Jefferson County Fair, our local fair tonight, and, you know, we're taking pictures and we're, you know, signing autographs and we're talking to folks about the event. I was at Bike Night in Martinsburg. We had about 4,000 people come by our booth there this past Saturday night. A lot of publicity, a lot of TV ads. It's just, we're taking everything up to the next level. This is the kind of event that you would normally see in a bigger market, like a Baltimore or a Philadelphia, or, you know, that saturated area like New Jersey. And it's in it's Eastern Panhandle, West Virginia. And, you know, so far the result is, you know, the early ticket sales is the only barometer we really have. And it's so far surpassed every other event that we've had. So, you know, we're looking at it kind of a chips all in. You know, we kind of went all in on this event in terms of promotion and talent and you know, our storylines. You know, everything kind of ties up at next level. So, you know, it's not a make or break event, but, you know, it's definitely it could be a make event. And that's what we're looking for.
Sure. And this, again, PCW's Next Level, September 12, 2015, in Ranson, West Virginia. Tyler, it's so important to publicize an event, as they also, you know, paper an area, get out there and spread the word. Like you said, you've been doing a lot of that, and it sounds like the early returns are very positive. I mean, when you book a show with Black Wall Street, Christian York, Solo, Bobby Shields, I mean, my goodness, Hillbilly Jim and WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, I mean, top to bottom, it is a fantastic card. I'm thrilled to be a part of it. I can't wait to work with you. I want to talk to you about your current heavyweight champion, Bobby Shields. I've been in the ring with Bobby Shields before. He's a very, very impressive wrestler. Why is he a good representative for your company?
Well, right now in terms of the, you know, the PCW locker rooms, you know, Bobby's in one locker room and I'm in the other, figuratively speaking. But from a company point of view, I would say that, you know, someone was at the Jefferson County Fair this past, just last night, Bobby was there and he, you know, he's taking pictures with the fans and they were posing with the belt and he's talking and signing autographs and having a good time. And that's the kind of guy you want as the face of your company, someone that can relate to people. The other part of Bobby is that I don't care if you've seen Bobby in Delaware or Virginia or, you know, Pennsylvania or wherever. The Bobby Shield that wrestles in the Primal Conflict wrestling ring is totally different. He takes, and to not, you know, no pun intended, he takes things to the next level. He's had the most, you know, if you talk about Ring of Honor quality matches, I mean, he has wrestled, you know, Rhett Titus twice for us, Christian York, Chuck Lennox, he's had a great match with just recently, Takaki Watanabe from New Japan. He had a big match with Jason Kincaid back in March. His match with Dirty Money was insane. Bobby takes and he makes everybody around him that much better, and the fans react to that. I mean, it's insane. You know, like a lot of guys, you know, say, you know, that's not the Bobby we saw, or you know, how is, you know, the crowd comes out and goes nuts for him. You know, we had Phoenix Fury kind of was put in a title position, and by the end of the match with Bobby Phoenix, who hadn't really been, you know, that guy before, was on the map. Bobby put him on the map and elevated both of their careers in, you know, in 25 minutes. So that's why Bobby, you know, to me is a great representative of PCW.
I have had the privilege of being a ring announcer now for about 5-6 years, and you can just tell, Tyler, when certain individuals are different, when they're better wrestlers, they connect with the crowd, they're a great character, and they promote the story, and they promote the, you know, the the organization within, the way that this business should be represented. And I just think Bobby Shields is a true star. And I think it's a real tip of the cap to PCW that he's your heavyweight champion, because Bobby Shields is really, really a special talent. You yourself are the spiritual leader of the Forgiven. Tell me more about the Forgiven.
The Forgiven is, in my estimation, the best tag team on the planet. And I say that with all humbleness. Jason Kincaid, who we mentioned earlier, is a great former wrestler. He's a former NWA World Junior Heavyweight Champion. He's been the NWA Smoky Mountain Champion for like 3 years plus running. He's, you know, defended against everybody from, you know, John Morrison to, you know, Evan Bourne or Matt Sydal. And, I mean, he's just that guy. And his partner, the Reaper, Matt Connard, who a lot of folks may not be familiar with, but when these two guys were put together in PCW, it clicked. It was just one of those things that clicked, kind of like, like maybe when, you know, Bobby Eaton and Stan Lane came together. They just kind of clicked. And that's what we got going on. And the reaction from the fans is, I wouldn't say it's positive, but it's negative in a positive kind of way. And that, you know, they know that this is something special. There's a lot of comparisons that have been thrown about the Forgiven. It's the Wyatts and it's this. And none of that's accurate. I mean, we are on a mission, you know, of forgiveness and spread the positive message. And that's kind of the key here, is that in today's society, when you say something positive, a lot of times it's taken as being negative. You know, Tim Tebow was vilified for being a Christian.
Right.
Whereas, you know, Bruce Jenner is celebrated for being a hero. And those kind of things kind of skew our morality sometimes. And then something like the Forgiven, we're able to push those buttons. And that's kind of what we have going on right now. And it works because, you know, some levels, one, obviously Jason Kincaid and Matt Connor are fantastic wrestlers. And we've been able to, you know, being one step ahead of everybody else. We added Mandy Leon to our fold, and that I'm sure didn't make anybody happy. And myself, you know, I'm local. I would dare say until, you know, 2011, I was probably the biggest good guy the PCW had. And for me to go from that to the biggest bad guy was something to move the needle. And that's what we needed to do.
8 big matches at PCW's Next Level on September 12th. Patrick Clark is on the show, a former WWE Tough Enough contestant. Tyler, I wanted to ask you, how do you think that experience helped him?
Well, I mean, obviously anytime you get down to the WWE Performance Center, good things are going to happen. Everybody that I've ever spoken to that went through there or has been there can't rave about it enough. It's basically the Harvard of professional wrestling. So I think him being in that environment helped him personally probably, you know, grow as a wrestler. But obviously the exposure on USA helped him, you know, in terms of value. And it's no small feat when guys, like, you know, for all the controversy, what was it, week 2 or 3, Hulk Hogan said, we can stop the show right now. Patrick Clark's your winner. And when he voted off, and Foley and Jim Ross and all these folks rally around and go, this young man has a big future, and it was a mistake to even have him in the bottom 3. You know, that speaks volumes about Patrick. And I know the show portrayed Patrick in a certain light, and, you know, that's television and that's entertainment. I get that. But I've known Patrick for 2 years, and a Raw event, I want to say it was like December the 28th or something, 27th, in Washington, D.C. last year, you know, we met him and my daughter and him. We had dinner before the event. And a more humble guy you're never going to meet. So, you know, I get the television entertainment aspect of it, but I also know Patrick Clark, the person. So, and I'm proud to know him. And for him to come back into PCW at the, you know, at a big, basically our biggest event in history, you know, I take a certain sense of pride in that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, things change in wrestling, and he's going to take on his tag team partner, Lio Rush, another guy who's, you know, stars on the rise, so to speak, with his win in the Shamrock Cup. But he has an opportunity on September 12th that I'm not really at liberty to discuss right now, but it's a big opportunity for him, and I didn't want to stand in the way of that, so God bless him, he's going to be there. But that opened up the door for Patrick to have a new challenge, and that, you know, being his trainer, you know, the Bruiser, who is, you know, if anybody's a fan of MCW, then they know the Bruiser, and he's a fantastic talent. And I don't think PCW has ever seen a guy like him that has that physical style. And I think fans are probably going to go, whoa. Unfortunately, you know, Patrick, you know, Clark is coming back, and it, you know, that's kind of a big deal. Now he's got a big test in front of him. So there's a different dynamic to that match than there was with Lyra. Not that they're either one's better or worse than the other, but it's just kind of a different thing now, and I think that it gives the whole match a different complexity.
Sure. No, I understand that, and I know. I mean, the Shamrock Cup is a big deal on the East Coast. MCW is a very, very good promotion, and that's a match I'm looking forward to. I did want to talk to you, though, about this event features two big former WWE stars. Of course, WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan and legend Hillbilly Jim. They're both going to be appearing on September 12th in Ransom, West Virginia. Tyler, will fans get a chance to meet them and maybe get a picture and an autograph?
Absolutely. VIP ticket holders get in at 5:30 for a meet and greet. And, you know, Hacksaw and Hillbilly Jim and Sanjay and Christian York and Patrick and all the stars of PCW will be doing, you know, photo ops and autographs at that time. And then general admission doors open up at 6 o'clock. Absolutely. Our friends at Back to the Media, they're bringing Hillbilly Jim in for the event, and he's going to be doing a Q&A at their location in Winchester in the afternoon. There's a whole bunch of next level, you know, events surrounding the actual wrestling card. So there's a lot going on. But yeah, I mean, and, you know, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, obviously, you know, Hall of Famer, former WCW U.S. champion, TV champion, the whole nine yards, Mid-South legend. And he's going to be wrestling. He's going to be teaming with Jimmy and Jack Cicero against the Dial Dynasty in a six-man tag match. Hillbilly Jim, you know, I kind of, you know, when his name kind of floated into the conversation, I kind of scratched my head and go, you know, I haven't heard of Hillbilly Jim doing any, like, you know, signings at conventions and things like that, but I've not heard of him actually appearing at any wrestling events or being involved in anything for a very long time. So, you know, that kind of gave us something unique to be able to offer, you know, and was country strong to rough, rowdy, redneck kind of guys. It just kind of fell into place. So, you know, it was just a win-win situation for everybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm joined today by Primal Conflict Wrestling's Tyler Steele. Tyler, take us inside the locker room. Are there aspects of putting together a show like this that are extremely challenging for you?
Challenging, yeah. I think anytime you want to really take and do something different, you're going to have challenges. I'm very fortunate in the PCW locker room, and the core roster is so good that sometimes things kind of take on a life of their own, and you kind of see where something's going to go at, and this is a matchup that needs to happen, and that's easy. On this one, you know, we really wanted to make sure that, you know, to be honest, that, you know, that everybody has that, and I don't want to overstate it, but that WrestleMania moment. And in talking to some of the guys, they've got some special entrances that they're going to be doing and some really cool things that's different that they haven't done anywhere else. And that's kind of cool because they're feeling the excitement too. You know, we kind of have like some, you know, conversations about how ticket sales are going and different things like that. So there's a lot of, you know, cool things that are planned. But yeah, I mean, it was important to me that guys that have been here for a while and guys that have contributed positively to the growth of the company that they were put into on this card, and that was kind of challenging, and to make sure that everybody kind of lined up the way that, you know, was best suited for the company and for, you know, for the talent. I was very obviously Patrick was a late addition to the card due to, you know, he was contracted with USA and the WWE for that program until he was voted off. Excuse me. So he was a late addition and some things like that. But yeah, you know, Bobby Shields versus Sanjay Dutt is a match that we've tried to actually get together, a one-on-one match for several years. Sanjay has been with us since back in like 2009, and he's always been that special guest star that just comes in and knocks out a home run about every time he's with us. And I haven't asked either one of them individually, I got a feeling that Bobby and Sanjay are looking forward to, oh, I know Bobby is, to this one-on-one match, because they've kind of been in three ways and four ways and some things like that, tag matches. So now this is their time to go out there, and they're going to be the main event, and I have the utmost confidence that they're going to, you know, bring down the house, so to speak. The Dahl Dynasty, that whole thing kind of took on a life of its own over the last three or four events. And, you know, the Ciceros, if you followed Jimmy Cicero, he's been around, you know, for a while. But he, you know, he's doing a really positive message in it with his wrestling through the Autism Speaks. And, you know, not everybody likes that. So the Dahl Dynasty, being the bad guys that they are, have, you know, been a thorn in the side, so to speak. Boom. Enter Hacksaw Jim Duggan to even the sides up in it. And, you know, it just kind of made sense. So, you know, in this card, I think it did work itself out, because, you know, it's kind of the culmination of our, you know, of everything that's been going on since maybe like January of this year, maybe even November of last year.
This is a big night, September 12th, 2015, PCW's Next Level. Again, eight big matches. Like you said, main evented by Bobby Shields defending his championship against Sanjay Dutt. I can't wait to be a part of it. Black Wall Street will be there. Christian York, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and so many more great, great performers. This is really top to bottom, an unbelievable show. Tyler, tell people where they can find you and PCW on social media.
We are on Facebook. Obviously, we have a Facebook page. We have a discussion group. We're on Twitter, Primal Conflict. We're on YouTube. We've been doing a lot of YouTube videos leading into this. Our Jose, our great production guy, has done some videos and some different graphics and things, and that's on, you know, YouTube.com/PrimalConflictTV. Go check that out. We're on Instagram, Vine, all the social media we're on. Obviously, we have a website, www.PrimalConflictWrestling.com. You can buy tickets there, DVDs, T-shirts, sweatshirts, the whole nine yards. And obviously, our individual talent has their Twitter and all that kind of thing, too. So, you know, anything social media or any other base, we're definitely trying to exploit to its fullest.
Well, and it's really important, right? I mean, for promotions to get the word out, to sell as many tickets as they can, and to really showcase their product, they have to take advantage of Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. And one last question for you, Tyler, before we let you go. How do you utilize social media, not necessarily to promote PCW, but to learn and watch other promotions? Because now it's an unbelievable opportunity to watch matches overseas or promotions that you may not normally get to watch. Do you go on YouTube and watch a lot of matches and learn from other promotions?
Absolutely. And that's the great thing about technology now, is that, you know, everything's at the fingertips to, you know, to watch. And that's, to be honest, that's kind of the how Takaki Watanabe ended up in PCW. You know, somebody said, "Hey, have you heard of this guy?" And I was like, kind of, you know, I've heard his name around. And they sent me a link to some stuff he had did with Yuji Nagata and Noah. And I watched it, and I was like, well, man, he's very good. And then somebody put me in contact with him through one of the Japanese intermediaries, and we met at the New Japan Ring of Honor events in Philadelphia, and we're off to the races. And he came in, and him and Bobby, you know, went about 25 minutes, and it was phenomenal. That's one example, you know. And most of the talent that has come into PCW in the last year or two, you know, obviously we've watched them through YouTube and things like that. So yeah, that's kind of the where we're at now, the wave of the future. I imagine everybody's going to copy the WWE Network thing now. I know that WWN and all these kind of things have their streaming services. So I got a feeling that's kind of where we're headed at next.
Mm-hmm. The website again, PrimalConflictWrestling.com. The show is September 12th, 2015. in Ransom, West Virginia. PCW's Next Level, 8 great matches. Tyler, it's been wonderful to have you in OWW Radio. I hope to do it again real soon, and I'll see you in a few weeks.
All right, David. Thanks for having me, and we look forward to seeing you September 12th.
You got it. Have a great evening. That was Primal Conflict Wrestling's Tyler Steele. He is the spiritual leader of The Forgiven and a big part of the PCW Next Level show September 12th. I'm going to go ahead now and call Kerry Morris to talk about everything that's going on in World Wrestling Entertainment.
Hello.
Kerry, it's Dave from OWW Radio. How are you doing this evening?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Are you at home right now, or are you already in New York for SummerSlam?
No. I have a concert I have to go to Friday night, then I head out early Saturday morning to New York.
And you are going to all of the shows, right? You're going to NXT TakeOver, SummerSlam, and then Raw Monday night. Is that right?
Oh, correct. Mm-hmm.
By the way, how many SummerSlams is this for you now?
This will be just a fourth. I haven't gone to that many. My first time since 2006.
Oh, is that right? This is so you literally have not been to SummerSlam and going on almost 10 years.
Yeah. A lot of things went on that I had to cut out something, and I cut out SummerSlam.
Well, in fairness, I mean, SummerSlam has been in Los Angeles a long time, and you living in Chicago, I mean, you also travel for WrestleMania every year. So, you know, I know for myself, the entertainment dollars dry up.
Well, that, and say, I'm not a fan of L.A., and this is the first time in years that SummerSlam was not on the same weekend as our Aaron Waters show party. So, you know, when they're separate, I can do it. When they're together, I can't do it. So hopefully this streak can continue. Maybe I'll go again next year.
Now, you and I were in New York together for WrestleMania 29. Not my favorite host city. I felt it was very spread out. We were waiting in line a long time for bus rides and trains. This is at the Barclays Center, though, right? This is not, you know, out at MetLife Stadium, and so maybe that'll be better. Do you think so?
Oh, I agree. We're not crossing state lines. This is the hotel is right next to the queue line. You hop right on that, takes you right to the Barclays. It's a 25-minute ride, so it won't be bad at all.
I was shocked that they're sold out Saturday night for NXT.
But the more I thought about it, there's so many people overseas that are coming for this, and so many of them are diehard NXT fans that, I mean, I'm sure they jumped on it the chance they could. You know, had this been in L.A. or somewhere West Coast, they probably would not have this kind of success.
You know, that's actually a really good point. And frankly, when you're at WrestleMania weekend, I don't love the Hall of Fame ceremony. Some people love it. I do not love it. I would rather go to an NXT show on Saturday night, especially one like this. My goodness, Kerry, this is not just any typical NXT show. I mean, Finn Balor defending against Kevin Owens in a ladder match, I feel like it could steal not only the show Saturday night, it could steal the whole weekend.
Oh, that and a few other matches. Now that they've added on an hour and several matches, or, you know, I'm a little confused if it's going to be a three-hour event now or if there's going to be 2 hours and they're just going to have the hour extra taping of an extra episode. But there's several matches that could steal the card, and there's hell of a crowd that steal the show that night as well.
For your weekend in New York, we already, you know, you're going to NXT, you're going to SummerSlam, you're going to Raw. What other VIP events are you going to?
Well, I got meet and greets with PCB and RKO. As soon as I land, I have to head to Barclays. And then I have a VIP, a ringside to go to NXT, but there's an hour beforehand. They're going to let us into the building, a few of us, and meet and greet with some of the NXT stars and divas. Then Sunday morning, we have a breakfast brunch buffet with some of the wrestlers. Then right before SummerSlam, similar to what we had in New Orleans, we have a pre-SummerSlam reception, open bar, drinks, food with some of the wrestlers. And then Monday, we're getting a tour of Brooklyn with some of the legends, like where they shot movie and TV scenes. And I guess we get our own private area of a famous pizza restaurant. We get to have lunch there with some of the legends.
I mean, it's really become like a WrestleMania weekend, right?
It has, and I'm not sure if that's just because this is New York and you go all out for New York, or this is going to be the new thing from now on. I mean, I'm liking it. I feel like I'm getting my money's worth.
Absolutely, absolutely. I wanted to, Kerry, though, turn our attention now to the actual SummerSlam card itself, which I really like. I think this is going to be a fun show. SummerSlam has always been very special to me because I remember the first SummerSlam and how excited I was, you know, to see the Mega Powers in the ring. I was such, you know, such a fan back then. SummerSlam seemed very important to me, so I'm glad the tradition is still continued. And I think this card is as good as they've had in a long, long time. In general, do you like the show that you'll see Sunday night?
Oh, yeah, I agree. This is one of the best cards they've had in probably many, many years. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm kind of like you, my first pay-per-view I was ever allowed to watch was SummerSlam 89, the second one. So this event has always been special to me. And so I'm glad they're keeping it as like the second biggest show or the summer version of WrestleMania. But yeah, this card definitely, I think, will surprise a lot of people with the quality of the matches they put on.
Right at the top of the card, The Undertaker returning, trying to get his revenge against Brock Lesnar. Really, Undertaker Lesnar 2. Is this setting up the rubber match for WrestleMania? Do you expect Undertaker to win here, and then we'll see this a third time this coming spring?
Undertaker is my favorite, always has been. So, yeah, I hope he wins the match, but I don't want to see a rubber match. I think win and move on.
Well, but let me ask you, if they do that, doesn't that then damage Lesnar a little bit not to kind of avenge this defeat?
It depends, I guess, how you write the story. But, I mean, when you think about it, Undertaker has lost to Lesnar several times, you know, back in the early 2000s. So, I mean, I think in the end, no, they'll still see Brock as a beast. You know, he loses one. And I'm not sure if I'd want to see a third one. It's kind of like, okay, let's move on to different things. How can Brock work with the new guy to elevate them? Same with Taker.
Sometimes I still struggle with the fact that I saw Brock Lesnar get his ass kicked in UFC because as much as I respect the fact that he was the UFC heavyweight champion, he did not have a lot of matches leading up to his championship opportunities. And then he got beat definitively by a couple guys in UFC. Does that at all tarnish what he is?
No, I mean, everyone has their losses. And plus, wasn't he going through diverticulitis at the time? And that's a painful, almost can be a deadly disease at times.
That's the reason
why he lost, then I could kind of say, well, you know, he's doing a lot better now. He's definitely recovered from it.
That's a fair point, and maybe we can't ever quantify or really know what that illness did to him. That's a very fair point, and I do like the fact, Kerry, that he has kind of committed now to being a World Wrestling Entertainment superstar first and foremost. He's on the programming more. He feels more part of the company. Is that fair?
Oh, I agree, yeah. They're using him right. He's appearing a lot more without overexposing him to where he still feels like a special attraction.
One of the other big matches that we're going to see Sunday night, a champion versus champion match, the World Heavyweight Champion Seth Rollins against the United States Champion John Cena. A little bit of added drama there because we saw John Cena recently injure himself. Well, that's not, he recently get injured is what I should have said at the hands of Seth Rollins. I don't expect a clean winner here, Kerry. I don't expect these two titles to be unified. Am I wrong?
You know, I can expect a clear winner, but that doesn't mean we will walk out with a unified champion, if you kind of get what I'm hinting at.
Hmm.
You know, there might be, you know, someone might win, and then a certain person might win a title, and another person might cash in their Money in the Bank contract and take that belt off the person.
You know, I would be okay with that. I'm not crazy about the idea of an individual holding two titles. And, you know, you actually were the one that convinced me that John Cena as the U.S. champion was a good thing, that he would establish the championship again. It had kind of lost some of its luster, and he would reestablish, if you will, some of the prestige of being the United States champion. I think he's done that. I think the last couple months have been exciting with him as the United States champion. I'm not crazy about this match. I, by the way, the images of John Cena's broken nose, that's enough to make you throw up, isn't it?
In my case, no. If you've seen what I've seen working in the hospital with patients, I'm kind of desensitized. But to an average person, I showed to other people, and they had a similar response, yes.
You know, Kerry, that's actually a great point. You're right. You're used to some blood and guts. I saw that, and you know, I had to immediately shut down my laptop.
Ah, yeah. To me, that's nothing what I've seen, so...
You know, I've been very lucky. I've been doing quite a bit of ring announcing the past 2-3 years, and I've been very, very fortunate that I have not seen, knock on wood, anyone get injured in front of me. And I did see one guy get cut pretty bad, and he was bleeding, and, you know, they took care of that. But I've not seen any disfigurements, and, oh, my God, like, seeing his nose was, like, by the side of his ear.
And he kept going with the match. I mean, hey, say what you want. The man is determined and passionate and put on a hell of a show and keep going.
Yeah, he sure does. And he's determined. He's passionate. He's also what I would say, he's a quote-unquote professional. I mean, he has...
Oh, yeah.
Not only been paid handsomely and been a great pitchman for WWE, but I really think every time he's in the ring, he gives 100%. And that's, as a fan of this business, that's all I can ask for.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as a professional, I mean, you know, that's what they pay him. He could go out and give 100%, but I think he goes out and gives more than that because he really wants to, not because, oh, well, I'm getting paid, I have to. He does it because he really, truly loves it when he really wants to. Oh, as far as the match, I mean, I think they could really put on, that might be the dark, as I think JR calls it, the dark horse. That could be a show stealer. And, I'd hope to keep the belt on, the U.S. belt on John Cena. I think it's been an exciting open challenge. I think they should keep that going. But just for the match itself, I think they could actually put on a hell of a show.
On the card this Sunday night, a family versus family match, the Wyatts versus the Shield. But it's not really the Wyatts versus the Shield because it's 2-on-2 versus the entire Wyatt family and the Shield. Kerry, does it lose a little something without all three members of both groups?
You know, I was thinking about that. You know, unfortunately, one of them, I think, is still out with a biceps injury. I guess potentially could make a surprise return. And while, granted, Seth Rollins is not part of the Shield anymore, keep in mind they're calling it a family affair. Think of another family member that might just happen to be in the area and just might happen to show up and help out if needed. That could make it exciting.
Yeah, I just loved when the Wyatts were together and the Shield was together because I thought they were really unique and different. They all complemented each other well. And although I figured the Shield would eventually break off and go their own ways because each individually are fantastic wrestlers, I don't feel that way about the Wyatts. I feel like Luke Harper and Eric Rowan need Bray Wyatt and his creepiness and storyline and all of that to be relevant. I don't care about Luke Harper at all unless he's with the Wyatt family. So I feel a little bit, Kerry, underwhelmed by this matchup.
I think it would have been a 3-on-3, but, you know, so with Eric Rowan Bisso being out. But once he's back, all the Wyatts be back together. And I think in some ways Bray does kind of need them a little bit too to kind of have for that meaning he gives for his character, that cult following. So they do kind of need each other, but I definitely agree. Definitely Luke and Eric belong to Bray Wyatt, and they should not break them off ever again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. By the way, is the Big Show always in triple threat matches?
You know, it seems like it. You know, it seems like it. I mean, I think that was not the plan until Ryback got injured, but, you know, they're going to, but, you know, still, and they got, you know, hopefully they put on a good show and work well together.
I mean, I give Big Show a lot of credit because he's been a star for, you know, even well before he came to WWE. I mean, he was a big
name. Yeah, 20 years, yeah, now.
Yeah, I mean, so I give him credit because this is a tough business and it spits a lot of people out.
He's lasted this long. I mean, more power to him.
Absolutely, and he's been a bankable star for a long, long time. But this doesn't excite me at all. Ryback versus Big Show versus Miz. I think Miz has kind of run his course as well. I don't find him interesting anymore. If they do anything, Kerry, other than keep the title on Ryback, I think that's a major mistake.
I would agree. You don't need to play with the belt like it's a game of hot potato. Keep it on Ryback since Daniel Bryan's still out. Keep the belt on Ryback for a longer time. Help add prestige to that belt. Big Show doesn't need to win. I kind of miss when Miz was with Mizdow. I think that was a great thing. I kind of wish they kept it going a little bit longer. But, yeah, I'm all for Ryback holding that belt for a long time.
The tag team titles on the line at SummerSlam, although individually I like the primetime players, the current champions, Los Matadores. You like my Spanish accent, by the way?
Yes.
It's very impressive.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. the Lucha Dragons.
I like it. Los Matadores.
The Lucha Dragons and the New Day. We have a fatal four-way, four-corner tag team title match. Kerry. These four teams have been on TV way too much. We've seen too many matches between these two teams. I mean, it feels like every week they just keep switching sides. What is going on? These are individually interesting teams. I think that they've been booked really, really poorly.
Unfortunately, except you have one of the Wyatts go down with an injury there with that tag team. You have the Usos went without injury there with that tag team. You know, Kid going down with an injury, that tag team went down. So it's kind of like, you know, in some ways you had no choice to use what you had left, but it's kind of like maybe you should have called up someone else or two from NXT or maybe done something a little better with the Ascension or, you know, to shake it up just a little bit since you had three good teams that are out with injuries.
A lot of people are using the phrase, Kerry, quote-unquote, give the Divas a chance, or they point to, quote-unquote, the Divas Revolution. I feel some energy in the division. Is that fair?
Oh, I'm excited about this. I mean, you're seeing the birth of another golden age of women's wrestling, and I'm picturing Charlotte and Sasha as, like, the new, better version of Trish and Lita.
Yeah, I mean, Sasha, Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, I mean, there's really some decent new talent. And by the way, I try not to get in Twitter battles with people because it just drives me crazy. But I kind of like Nikki and Brie Bella. And I feel like my point when I got into this on Twitter, it's just stupid using Twitter to, like, you know, settle an argument. It's so stupid. But my basic point was, okay, they may have famous boyfriends or husbands or whatever, and Total Divas raised their profile, but they have gotten better.
They've gotten a lot better. I think also that helps with having better quality, having to go longer matches, being forced to work longer and harder. Like I said one time in a previous show, like any job, the more you do it, the better you get at it. So giving them longer matches, I think, has helped bringing up great workers like Charlotte and Becky Lynch and putting more Paige in and Sasha Banks. And that those women are going to elevate them. You're going to learn things from them, and you're going to up your game. And I agree. I like the Bellas, what they're doing. You got to have that good heel. You want to see their butts get whipped. And perfect. They're the perfect ones for it.
Well, and I feel like they have done just a fine job. And some people, like I said, they point to their relationships or Total Divas. That's not for everybody.
They're just haters.
Well, and frankly, Kerry, you can give some people the opportunity. It does not mean they're going to be successful. The Bellas were given an opportunity that was unique, and they fit in pretty well and moved it, you know, moved forward. Without the Bellas, Total Divas is not interesting to me. They are beautiful women. I've met them several times. A lot of us have. They've always been pleasant. They are much better in the ring than they used to be. But it's funny. It's like if you defend the Bellas, people give you a whole lot of hate on social media. Have you found that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, they just hate them because one of them dates John Cena, and they're going to hate anyway, no matter what. And I try to ignore that kind of crap. But, you know, like I said, I've never honestly personally met the Bellas, and I don't watch Total Divas. But, I mean, a few times I've seen them interact, like, when they're off camera, when they're heels, and there's little girls come saying hi to them, and like I've seen them take the hats off their heads and give it to them, or sign something for them when the camera 10 minutes on. No, go to the back, and they want to be nice to the kids, and even though they're playing the heels on TV, and so, I mean, I agree, they've improved. I think they're super nice. They were given an opportunity, they've made it work, and they're running with it. You know, don't be jealous if they got the chance and you didn't.
Yeah, that's true, and I'll tell you, in all honesty, as beautiful as they are on television, in real life, they are breathtakingly beautiful women. I'd agree. I see some people on TV and you meet in real life, and, you know, they're a bit of a letdown. The Bellas are even twice as beautiful when you're actually seeing them live. Not that that means anything, and, you know, that's not a great radio, but that's not a real investigative reporter's, you know, scoop there, but they are really, really beautiful. I did want to ask you, Kerry, we talked about the Kevin Owens performance Saturday night, that ladder match against Finn Balor, part of NXT. He's also on the SummerSlam card in a big match with Cesaro, a match I think could be one of the best on Sunday night. What do you see happening when Kevin Owens meets up with Cesaro?
I see us as a crowd losing our voices and getting exhausted at that match. That's going to be a show stealer. I can see it going about a good 20 minutes. I see both of guys being elevated into that main event roster and making the main event main roster even more exciting. I think both guys are going to finally start getting the push they deserve, especially Cesaro. I hope for a clear cut winner. I don't know who it's going to be. I just want to see a show stealing match, and that could. Between Owens' match with Cesaro and Owens' match with Finn Balor, one of those matches could steal the show, could steal all shows from all weekend. The bright, shining moment of the whole weekend. We'll say that.
Your trip is coming up here. This is the best time because the whole trip's in front of you. What are you most excited about? You've been in New York City before, again, for WrestleMania 29, but what are you most excited about for this trip?
I'm looking forward to meeting PCB Saturday. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to the NXT takeover. I'm looking forward to all the different. Honestly, the whole thing is just like, you know, our friend Hal's going to be there. My friend Chris in Chicago's coming up. It's funny. I was just in New York 3 weeks ago. I'm glad to get to go back and see more of it again. I say honestly, everything to see how this package works out. The breakfast buffet, meeting wrestlers, to the SummerSlam show itself is going to be awesome. We got tickets for Raw the next night. It's hard to pinpoint, honestly. It's just being in New York and the energy of it, and it's a fun city.
You could go to New York literally every weekend of your life, and there's always something different. It's an unbelievable city. There's a great energy and, of course, a great WWE history in New York City. So I think SummerSlam on Sunday, of course, NXT the night before. Raw is where? At the...
Barclays, huh? So three nights in a row, the Barclays is sold out.
Raw to the Barclays Center, too. Interesting. So actually, for yourself, that's pretty convenient.
Oh, it is, yeah. I'm saying with the package, they gave us train ride cards and paper for Sunday and Monday. We all have the exact same seats for Raw and SummerSlam. And so, yeah, it's going to be a fun weekend.
Terry, for people that have seen you on TV before, you're the squared circle guy. You always have the squared circle T-shirt on. Why is that?
It's a wonderful, wonderful place owned by wonderful, wonderful people, amazing food. So I have no problem wearing the shirt. It gives them more, if it's more advertising, it gets more eyeballs on their product and more people in their doors. I'm going to keep doing it. I hope that place that place is going strong. Business is actually better than ever. They're having a huge weekend with SummerSlam and NXT and coming up. They're actually that right immediately following SummerSlam. Victoria and Tori Wilson will Skype live and they're going to judge the best Hot Rod tribute. The winner will get a $250 cash prize.
So give me details, Kerry, of Squared Circle.
Okay, well it's a wonderful. I say it's a restaurant that's you get burgers, pizzas, calzones, desserts, full bar menu, drink menu, kids menu. Loaded flat screens all around, different wrestling memorabilia autograph, like an Undertaker autographed glove from one of his matches. You have a Sting signed memorabilia. You have a Lita signed picture with one of her outfits she wore, same with Michelle McCool, a couple of Jeff Hardy, Kurt Angle things up, different posters, always something different going on. Wonderful, friendly staff. Say 2418 North Ashland in the Lincoln Park neighborhood near DePaul University.
Okay. And do you still have a menu item on the named after you?
That is apparently seasonal, so hopefully that'll be back in the wintertime. It makes for a great comfort food. another thing with the Square Circle restaurant, Ring of Honor's in September. Get a ticket, party bus, so it's a quick, safe, clean ride to the arena and back. Same with WWE Raw in October. The tickets go on sale by September 1st. Get your party bus ticket, $20. Free ride there and back. No hassles, no traffic, no worries.
That sounds great. Kerry, where can people find you on social media?
I am just my name on Facebook and still under the Shytown OT screen name for Twitter, although I might change that to the Square Circle T-shirt guy soon. We'll see.
Well, this is going to be a tremendous weekend for WWE and a wonderful weekend for you. Hopefully you get a chance to reconnect with friends there in New York. Enjoy NXT, enjoy SummerSlam, and we'll talk to you again real soon. This is always one of my favorite shows, having you on. I've always been a big WWE guy, and I'm really, really excited about this weekend, just the wrestling itself. I think it's going to be wonderful.
Oh, I think it's going to be wonderful, and I think this could lead into an amazing few months leading into WrestleMania 32 in Dallas.
You got it. Thanks again, Kerry Morris, our resident WWE expert, for joining the show. Have a great weekend in New York, and I'll catch up with you real soon.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
Don't forget to check out the OWW website at onlineworldofwrestling.com for the latest news, analysis, and updates from the world of professional wrestling. While you're there, you can also catch up on past episodes of OWW Radio. You can email us at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com to submit topics or questions you would like us to discuss on an upcoming broadcast. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at OWWCOM to get all program updates and announcements. We'll also be posting directly to the official OWW Facebook homepage. Until next time, I am David. Thanks again to Tyler Steele and Kerry Morris for today's interviews. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll be back soon with another edition of OWW Radio. All right, well, that's okay.